thank you for the prayers and the worship music as well. That was really lovely ushering God's presence. And my sincerest prayer, I nearly said wish, but we should pray instead of wish, is that we bottle this up and take it with us on Monday. I might be alone because or other people might not like Mondays as much as I do, or they might like it, but I pray that we will take God's presence with us the rest of the week and in our daily lives. So my three young children give their greetings to you as well. They have more energy than I, which is not fair. So they're 8, 7, and 4 now. So what I wanted to say is we are doing a series on Jesus being the heart of everything. Last week Ian expertly preached on Jesus being the heart of the church. Today I hope to talk a little bit about Jesus being the heart of our lives, and to help us understand that Jesus flows through that to you. So what's the message? Jesus being at the heart of things. And I feel like I'm passing the baton from Ian. Hopefully I won't drop it, but as Christians you'll just have to forgive me if I do, because I'm not perfect, but I'm here and willing. What does the heart mean? Wayne's been talking about the heart of things, so I thought it'd be interesting to look at a couple of facts about the biology of the heart. Relying on Google, I've come up with some interesting facts, hopefully. It's a circulatory system that transports blood and oxygen through our arteries and veins, but it also takes away the waste, the carbon dioxide, of the things that we don't need. And as God is the invisible God, and we see the natural physical world reflected in the spiritual realm, I see Jesus as the life-giving oxygen that we need, and he takes away the bad stuff that comes from our heart. As Jesus says, out of your heart flows the abundance of life. So as the heart pumps blood continuously all the time, so we need God to flow through us all the time. We need constant sin to be forgiven and taken away through the power of the blood of Jesus and his grace and glory. So the heart begins beating and pumping blood even before the brain is fully formed, making it the first organ to function in a human embryo. I find that fascinating, because God was here at the beginning, and as he is the heart of all things, the heart is the first thing to get going, and it has its own unique electrical system that keeps beating all the time. And Jesus says, come to me and learn the unforced, oh, that's a good sound effect, unforced rhythm of life. So we pray that he will continue to beat in our hearts. And Jesus, we look to you through evidence of all things seen. We've enjoyed some unusually warm weather in May, and I hope you take time to be still and know that God is good. And that, to my mind, he's also a bit of an artist. You've got the wonderful blue sky that doesn't, it contrasts nicely with the green trees and the sound. And nature's next to the godliness, as they say. And I pray that we will have a bit more sunny weather the week ahead. And as I look at the trees, I also look at the branches. They make the lovely sound when the wind goes through in the summer. In winter, it's more of a howling noise I wish would stop. But as I look at the patterns of the arteries and the patterns of the branches, it's the same. It's a fractal pattern. Some of you are nodding in agreement. And these are similar shapes that we find through nature. To me, it points towards a grand design. I'm not talking about the program, although that's a great program if you've got time. It's about the pattern of life. And my neighbour recently tried to explain to me how when the tree grows, its roots go underneath and it absorbs the fungus or the nutrients from the source and it spreads up to the tree. And likewise, obviously, we've got oxygen and the blood pumps around the nutrients in the blood. So, what I'm trying to get is the overall structure and shape of things are consistent with a God who loves us, who's designed everything for us. And he is the source that things flow through. And I will use the words of Jesus because he always says it the best. And in John 15:5, he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." So Jesus is the image of the vine and its branches, perhaps you, to describe the relationship between him and his followers. I like the word followers. I can sometimes be a bit of a fan of Jesus, and recently he reminded me to be a follower of him. And so I said, "Well, where would you like me to follow you?" And then my Pastor Ian invited me to the Democratic Republic of Congo. So be wise with your prayers. God will use you as you are his branches. And like a branch, sometimes it's got to push through the darkness and reach out to others. Perhaps there's other people in your life that need to hear the word of God through your personality, through your gifts, through your time. And what's important is why we have Jesus at the heart of our lives. And so it's out of that abundance that Jesus loves you so much. So what I would like to mention is in 2012, I didn't know God and I had a look around my life and I didn't like everything that I saw. I sought him, I was encouraged to go on the Alpha course, and to my eternal astonishment, holy moly, I found out it's all true. And do you know what it was? I looked at the words of what Jesus said. And I quickly came to the conclusion at the beginning of the Alpha course. He's either mad, he's bad, because it's a con, or it's all true. It's one of those three things. So, as I read his words, they were logical, they were filled with grace and wisdom. So he wasn't mad. And he talked about forgiveness, which I needed. So that didn't make him bad. So however improbable, was probably true. And thanks God, he put me on a new course in life. And I wanted to share that briefly with you so that you would, you know, encourage other people. Oh, there's an Alpha course there. You might say it to a niece, a nephew, a grandson, a friend. You just sow those seeds and see where they land. See where that faith digs down deep and God can go to work through your personality. So what I would say is we welcome Jesus into our hearts, and one of the best parts of the Word of God and some of the best passage of Scripture that I came across is in Colossians. As Ian explained last week, it was written by Paul. It was sent to a small church near Turkey and they'd gone a bit wayward. They'd incorporated different elements into their own faith rather than just focusing on Jesus, the need for Jesus, and the amazingness and life-giving love that Jesus can put afresh into our daily life. So I'd just like to read that to you. And may God, may you hear God speak through this. Start from 1 Colossians 13. And then you can join us from 15. Apologies, they were very organised. They've got it right. But the reason I'm starting from 13 is because I realised that it explains that he has delivered us from a domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Sins is the bad stuff that separates us from him, as you know. So he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He delivers me, when I didn't know him, into knowing him, which is the light. He delivers us from the domain of darkness. When we die, we will be delivered from that because of Jesus, and we will live for eternity with him. And if you're having a bad day through aches and pains, as we all do, it's okay, because we know what's going to happen at the end of the day, and that we're going to be with God forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Worshipping here with you this morning was wonderful, but it's wonderful anywhere in the world. Worshipping God, although slightly differently, is as good in the middle of Africa with a tin roof as it is here with my fellow Christians, you, because God is everywhere. It's through everything. And he loves you, and he's joyful to worship with you and you with him. So in him we have redemption of sins. And now, moving seamlessly on, if we could have the reading from Colossians 1:15, thank you. The preeminence of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. So, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or heaven, making peace by the blood of Christ, by the blood on his cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, now he has reconciled his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you, me, us individually and collectively, above reproach to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's an amazing passage. There's an awful lot in there, isn't there, really? So I'm going to begin by talking about something that happened on Friday that might not seem even remotely to this. So stay with me. On Friday, I had my little boy. He's spends Friday at home with us from primary school. We thought it'd be good to spend some time with him before he goes to school. My wife had to go to work, and I had a meeting online. And I thought, it's okay, I'll just put the television on for a little bit and give him a sandwich. That'll keep him quiet for a little bit. Tricks of the trade. And then it went off. The television wasn't working. It's okay, I can fix that. I searched for the channels and nothing came back. I pressed the source button, there was no channels to be found anywhere. I scanned and looked, nothing. He was getting louder, the phone started ringing, I started to stay calm and not panic at all. Okay, I did panic a little bit, but I gave him the largest lolly I could and muddled my way through it, basically. And eventually it did come, and then Samantha came home, my wife, in the evening, and I said, oh, the television's not working, oh, we're probably going to have to buy a new one. And a woman's touch, she put it on and it worked. So what did you press? It's like, press the on button. So I'm reliably informed that God doesn't have favourites. But who am I to argue with that? And later found on there was a problem with Sky and it was all fixed. But it can seem sometimes as Christians, if we're praying and nothing's happening, we're not perhaps connected to the source. We might know friends or family members who feel far away from God, don't know him, they've had a quick scan around with Christianity, and nothing's come back. So my great encouragement for you is be patient, endure, and it's written, so it's true. We do have forgiveness of sins. We do have redemption through that. And so as we can pray and to ask God to connect us to the source, to him once more, we can reach out and connect them as the roots to the tree. And in Paul's letter to the church, we see him writing them, urging them to come to God, seek him while he may be found. Jesus really is who he says he is. Even in the beginning of the Bible, he talks about in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And he was there, working in partnership with him. So that's amazing to know that he is right at the beginning and he'll be right at the end with us as well through life. So as we see the Holy Spirit composing one of the most Christ-centered and profound pieces of theological words, passages, I pray that this will be the source in our lives. It will be a source of power for us when we're in pain. It will be a source of power for us when we've got to do something on those Monday mornings we don't want to do. I'm probably preaching to myself at the moment, but God is good. And the work that I recently found out, doing a bit of research on this, I hope I've pronounced this correctly, Protokos transformed firstborn, Jesus saying he was the firstborn. He wasn't literally the firstborn. It refers to the rank. He was the firstborn with all the rights and the privileges that you expect of the leader of the army, the humanity that came through. So shortly after welcoming Jesus into my heart, I didn't feel connected to him. Sure, I had a moment where I knew God was there, and perhaps like the people in Colossus Church were looking around and taking bits here and there. But I wanted to know what I was listening to was from God. And it was real. I needed that validation. So I pray and I said, God, if you're really there, I kind of get who this Jesus is. I know you're kind of explaining as a man he was there and he died for us so we could be forgiven of all the wrong things we've done. And through that, we get to know and the joy of you. But God, as a omnipotent being who is everywhere, he created the universe, all the things I can and can't see, it's a lot. Help? Can you wake me up in the middle of the night and just explain it to me? Because I figured if he woke me up in the middle of the night, One, that's got to be God at work. And two, I'll know it's him. And I woke up, and he wouldn't Adam and Eve it. It was 4 a.m. in the morning, and he gave me Hebrews 1:3. Does anyone know what that is? It's, I am the invisible God. I am the exact imprint of God's nature. Wow. Jesus is like God. So if I know Jesus, I know who God is. And if I can act a bit more like Jesus, if we can forgive like Jesus, then we can experience who God is. So, yeah, he's amazing. And if we pray, wonderful things happen. So please keep praying for our world and for each other and yourself to stay close to him. So the radiance of the glory of God and the imprint of his nature, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he then sits down with God, with us in mind. Hallelujah. What I would want to say is when there are days, and it's difficult as human beings to perhaps hold it all together, there are days where we are sick, ill, or bad things happen to loved ones, and we still have things that we need to do and take care of, it feels hard to hold it all together. But what Paul is implying here, look, if Jesus holds the whole universe together, the whole of creation together, he's got you. And he's going to uphold you with his righteous right hand. All we need to do is pray and ask. And as I was talking about Jesus being intertwined with, you know, his Father in heaven and his nature, those that know me, if I grow a beard, I look like my dad, or my dad looks like me. And as I get older, I'm slightly alarmed. I sometimes hear my dad and turn around and see a mirror. It usually happens when I'm trying to coerce my children into doing something. I think I've heard this before. But Jesus, of course, was more than just being like his dad. His dad dwelled in him. And he said rather suspiciously, Essexy, with you I am well pleased. So he is within us. And when I looked at the words of what Jesus speaks, I think he says somewhere, I speak the words that my Father gave me. It's not I, but my Father in me that I speak to you. So God, his Son, how can I put it? In Colossians, Christ is God, and God is Christianity. So each morning, the sun rises, or has been rising, and each morning, we've got his mercies are fresh. And as all things were created in him and for him, the world's created for him and sustains us, and even space. I love the line the beginning, and it's such a flex by God. And he said, and then he threw the stars, and then he made the stars. It's just like us picking up some flowers, you know. And then there were some flowers in the garden, you know. It's just amazing. And we shouldn't be worried about the chaos in our lives. He created the cosmos, not chaos. He creates order, not chaos. And the amount of times where things of working for the NHS seemed chaotic and not enough resources and I don't have enough control over things. God is in order, and when I pray to him, he does restore a little bit of peace in me. And that same peace that God has on his cross, like Paul says, you can pick up your cross and follow him daily, because his peace is for you. It's a wonderful gift. God's gift of natureness is, what do they say, natureness is next to godliness. So with the nicer weather we have today, I pray that we would spend time knowing that God is real, obviously, and that God, be still, know that I am God, and that you will enjoy nature. As Paul says in Colossians, there's nothing lacking or missing in salvation. Is Jesus reminding me to, he's also the living water, excuse me. But Jesus, there's nothing missing in his salvation. There's nothing missing that says we can't come back to him when we've made mistakes. We went to Leon Sea recently, and we watched the tide go out. And my children were really disappointed because it was so far away. And I said, don't worry, the tide will come back in. And Zachary is very impatient, couldn't wait to get out there. So he got out, and then he ran like the clappers, and he absolutely ran and ran and ran and ran. And he's surprisingly fast, or I'm getting older than I care to admit. But I did catch up with him because I was worried about him going in the water. He did get wet, and there was all sorts. Anyway, but the tide goes out and it comes back in again. And sometimes we aren't always as close to God as steadfastly as he is for us. But the tide does come in. And whether we feel we're close to God or not is irrelevant, because God is stable. All things are through him and with him. That includes me and you. And that includes when we feel like God's presence is far away. So, in Paul's letter, warns us not to take us away from Christ. It warns us, you know, be aware and stick to the words of Jesus. And in today, it's probably still relevant. What are we listening to? What's in our nervous system that's making us nervous? Are we listening to the news where there's wars and rumours of wars raising our anxiety level? Or do we go to the source when Jesus says, yeah, there will be bad times, there will be wars and rumours of wars, but do not worry? Okay. Because he's got a plan. The devil's got a scheme, God's got a plan. He's got it under control. You know where you're going at the end of the day. But nonetheless, let's have compassion and love for one another as God loves us so much. So, when I was younger, I liked to have my meal separated. Baked beans in the morning, would never touch the fried egg. It was sacrilege. It'd have to be a line of toast or a sausage or anything separating the two. And Verity, bless her, she kind of likes to have things very separate on a plate. She likes to eat things in sequential order. Samantha says, where did she get that from? I have not got a clue. Not a clue. But you know, and I'm probably guilty of this. Like, I come to church on Sunday morning, it's fantastic, and then I go to work and I've got my work place, or I have playtime with my children, and that's an area of my life, or I go and visit my friends and my family, and that's that section, I've got my finance section over here, which I monitor and do, and all tithe, etc. But da 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 da. And then, you know, as I was reading this, God's word will talk to you where you're at and what you need. But he was reminding me that no, look, everything's together. You know, look at the roots of the tree. It's not in little boxes taking up each one thing for one branch. It's all intertwined. Everything's together. And so, as much as God can work through you and does, it's God's wanting every area of our life. He wants to be at the heart of our life. He wants to be the peace at the cross. He wants to be knowing that you are loved and forgiven through Jesus. We're all adopted sons and daughters of God. I hope you know that. And I hope that you also knew that Jesus or God wants the world's biggest family, and that's why we're in the business of introducing Jesus to our friends whenever appropriate to do. Or not. God can do all things, really. So let's our lives be transformed by God. What does that look like for you? I don't know. Does it mean praying? Worshipping, fellowshipping, but nothing is off limits to God, really, and there's nowhere that He can't reach. And where the joy in the full of suffering, because we do suffer, and Jesus said there will be times of suffering, but Jesus also suffered. And He can empathize with us in our struggles because He was human. So if there's something keeping you up late at night, pray about it and talk to God. If there's something that you're happy about, hallelujah, praise and talk to God. If there's someone that you're missing, pray for them. Our Father in heaven, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, as we were singing about, are three in one. And He dwells and He works all things together for Him. Because the purpose of life is to know Him and to love Him and to try, no, not try, and to walk with Him. And God's message is that He's chosen us. He's chosen you. Because He's tugging at your heart. He's drawing you closer. That's why, you know, this symbol is quite popular with children because they love it. You know, it's why passion is the heart of the matter, is where the heart is, words follow. And that's why I think we want God to say, we love you. And that's why my greatest prayer is that you would all know, and it sounds cheesy, but it's true, that God loves you. He loves you very much. Amen.